I used to disrespect everyone. I used to call myself God.
What's the dark side of music and fame?
I've seen the darkest, but I don't blame music and fame for it. I blame myself. For 3 years, I didn't move out from my bedroom. Some of the episodes, I was believing that I'm dead already.
How did you turn your life around?
That night, I asked for death. I didn't got the death, I got the purpose. To live.
You think all of this happened because of that day that you surrendered?
I think that night I believed in him. I apologized to him. That's why I think he gave me a second chance.
Would you be afraid to ever fall back in the 7 years? Hi everyone, I'm with someone you might know as Yo-Yo Honey Singh. That's the longest guest name I think I've had. Or Herdish. Herdish, صح?
Herdish.
That's how I know him, as the person behind, the person you see as an artist, a producer, and everything you see online. It was lovely to talk to you.
Thank you.
And to see how you've grown so much throughout your life. I think, like you said, you've lived more than one life in your life.
Yeah.
And I think we had the opportunity to talk about that.
Yeah.
I thought it was very philosophical. And interesting, like it's, you said something, don't be human,
yeah,
but you said it in an interesting way that you should watch and understand, and I think you display it.
Yeah.
How was it for you?
Amazing. I loved it.
I'm glad. Did you feel that you were expressed yourself?
Yeah, I think so. People are gonna judge, people are gonna tell.
Yes. And for our audience, if you don't know him, you'll find him online. Find his pages, find his music. I think he's on to a few new things, also some collabs with hopefully some people in the Middle East and North Africa. And if you're new to our show, I hope you love it. I hope you support it, and hopefully we'll keep giving you more and more human stories. Enjoy. You ready?
Ready, born ready.
Yalla. Okay. Hi.
Hello.
So we start with a very basic but important question. Herdish, how are you really doing?
I'm great. God has been very kind.
Hmm.
God has been very kind. I got a second chance in life, second birth.
Hmm. What does that mean?
Yeah, my life was crazy. Long back, and I was sick for a very long time, for 7 years, and I lost hope that I am never gonna be back at my own senses, in my own element, in my own spirit. But God has been kind. Miracles are happening now in my life. Miracles.
What do you consider miracles, for example?
Me sitting to you, talking to you right now. If I look back 10 years back, 8 years back, 7 years back, I was in a room, in my house, locked up, self-locked up, not talking, not meeting anybody, away from internet, away from any running information, radio, television, media, anything. I was not meeting anyone, not even talking, not even speaking. I'm still a patient of bipolar disorder, but God has been kind, and I'm doing shows again. I'm traveling the world. I'm making music. It's a miracle. And when I was sick, I was a non-believer. I was a big, keeping an ideology of an atheist. But when I became a believer, my life changed. Now everything I relate is just God is giving me everything, what I deserve and what I'm having right now. It's just Him. That changed my life. The day when I surrendered. The night when I surrendered. Not the day. I still remember.
Tell me about this night.
So when I was sick at home, 2014, I got sick. I was in a drug addict for a very long time, for 2 years, from 2012 to 2014. Not the very hard A-class drugs, but the hashish and all that stuff. I used to smoke a lot.
Mm.
And they didn't knew, like, it's taking me over. It's controlling me. Mm. And I was doing a world tour with Shah Rukh Khan. And I was doing my television reality show, musical reality show. I was the judge. And I was shooting a Punjabi film. So everything was happening perfectly in my life. I was Yo-Yo Honey Singh, the biggest pop star of India at that time. But then I got start getting symptoms of bipolar disorder. It starts from suspicion. Suspicion of everything. Suspicion of death. Fear of death. Fear of people. So then I got sick. I was always a non-believer. I was always thinking that I'm the one who made myself Yo-Yo Honey Singh. I was the one who did everything. So when I got sick, so in my house, my mother used to play the prayers to make me cure and to have good blessings in the house. Then I got like, why are you playing this? You know, God will help you and He will cure you. I said, no, nothing will happen. The struggle was going on with my family that I should incline myself to spirituality so that I can be healed.
Yeah.
But I was ignoring that. So the time came when I said to God, okay, God, first of all, sorry. I disrespected you. I didn't believe in you. So now, whoever you are, whatever is your name, however you look like, and I'm going to start respecting you because I want something from you. And that was death. Because I was unable to control what was happening inside me, with me. Because I was done with myself. The bipolar disorder is such a big, sickness that nobody can explain it in words. So that night I asked for death. I didn't got the death. I got the purpose to live.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize that night happened in 2019. But I realized what made me a believer when I revisited that night in 2022, when I was curing, when I was getting better. I said, how am I getting better?
Yeah.
I left the hope. I left everything. I'm not going to be perfect or good in health. How it's happening? Then I revisited because I found a new doctor and he changed my life in 2021. He cured me. He changed the medication. And since he's an angel in my life, he's truly an angel in my life. I just met him last month when I was in India. And we were just talking and laughing how it all started and how everything is happening.
Mm-hmm.
So he suggested me to go back because I'm curing now. I'm getting better now. So revisit your symptoms.
Mm-hmm.
Revisit your bad memories. Revisit your good memories so that you can fix it for life. So he taught me this trick to revisit the episodes. So then I revisited that episode. I said, yeah, I think that night I believed in him. I apologized to him. That's why I think he gave me a second chance. Now, whatever is happening, I'm sitting with you. It's a big opportunity for me. And whatever I'm doing is a new opportunity for me because I was finished. It's a second birth. Not everybody gets the second birth, second chance. That's him. Just him.
Mm. I'll come back, but there's a question that I have to ask for our audience.
Yeah.
Which is, why Yo-Yo Honey Singh? Like, how and what does it mean and why did it?
The name?
Yeah.
I started as a music producer. I always wanted to be a music producer.
Mm.
Not a rapper, not a singer.
Mm.
Never wanted. Because my inspiration is Mr. A.R. Rahman.
Mm.
He's the greatest composer and the music producer we have. So I got introduced to his music in 1993 when I was just 10, 11 years old. And his first album was in Tamil, which was in a very different language for me, not to understand anything. But my musical mentor, he introduced me to A.R. Rahman, sir. He said, this man gonna change the world in music and now you have to listen to him. I said, okay. Then that music took me over. So I always wanted to be a music producer. I started as a producing hip-hop beats for lots of Indian underground rappers.
Mm.
So then my first song became very big in India in 2005.
That you wrote?
I composed the music, okay. And I was singing in English that time. That was my first.
So you sang?
Yeah, I sang that. That was with some featuring artist. He was singing in Punjabi, and I have two verses in English.
Mm.
When I sang that, that was in BBC charts. Everything was perfect. Mm. I didn't got work after that. I was broke. Then my friend, for 2 years, I had no money, but people were recognizing me. I saw you in the video clip. So after 2 years, I shifted from New Delhi to Punjab, where lots of singers are making music albums.
Mm.
So at that time, there was a CD time and cassettes time.
Yeah, of course.
So they used to put a small picture of a music producer with just the name. Mm. So Honey is my nickname, is my house name. My mother kept it.
Okay.
And Singh is my last name.
Yeah.
So we used to put just Honey Singh at the backside of the CD, music producer, Honey Singh. And some of the songs are with the lyricist as well. So lyricist, then music producer, Honey Singh. I was an award-winning music producer for 5 years in Punjab. I launched so many artists in Punjab. I worked as a music producer and they were just mentioning my nickname, Honey Singh, Honey Singh, Honey Singh. But when I sang my first solo song and I made that song for other artists, I said, brother, sing this song. I wrote and composed and made the music. Sing this song. It's called Brown Rung. So no, it's too much English. It's too hip hop. It's too modern. I don't want to do it. I want to keep it traditional music up. So I kept with song for 1 year. Nobody was believing in that.
Mm.
But I knew what potential that song has. And I said, my friend said, he said, this dummy vocals is yours. I said, this is my vocals. He said, release it. Go solo now. Stop doing music albums, production for anybody else. I said, okay. And I started bodybuilding. And I said, I want to be seen as India's first Punjabi artist going international.
Mm.
And then I picked Dubai. I shot that music video in Dubai.
Okay.
I was having my whole life savings of near about $100,000. But I spent $60,000 just on the video clip. And I played the gamble. And if you see, go and see on YouTube, Brown Rung, it was the biggest song of India at that time. And that song changed my life.
Mm.
And it starts with the Burj Khalifa shot. I still remember. So for that song, I said, I have to change my name. I have to put some addition to it.
Mm.
So addition, I put it in this slang called yo-yo. Yo-yo means all yours.
All yours.
All yours. When you say, hey, this is yo. Is that yo? Is that your coffee? Is that your coffee?
Like all yours.
Is that your phone?
Oh.
So yo means all yours.
Okay.
So I made it just like that. For fun. I didn't know that I'm going to be Yo-Yo Honey Singh and people going to start calling me Yo-Yo and it's going to be a rage. But I have that belief in that song, especially that song, that visuals.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how the whole India got connected to me. And it was in Asia number one song. And I've been called by United States of America from Google to have a visit to America for the first time. That was a crazy start. So that's how Yo-Yo came.
Okay. You said that you've been reborn.
Yeah.
And that everything is a big opportunity. If I asked you, Herdish, to imagine a white canvas.
Okay.
And I ask you to draw for me your current mental state?
You know, since childhood, I've been sketching an old tree with no leaves.
Okay.
So I don't know why. That's my subconscious.
Mm.
Since childhood, I've been just drawing one thing, which is an old tree, which is broken, which is dead, with no leaves.
Mm.
But today, I'm in the state of mind and then a blessing from God. That I want to make it painted green with lots of fruits, lots of leaves. So I think that's my current state.
Nice.
Even if when I was successful, when I became Yo-Yo Honey Singh, man, it was like a crazy rage in India, if you see 13 years back. Still, I was broken from inside. I don't know why. I was in darkness. I was not enlightened. Now I feel enlightened.
Mm.
Now, it doesn't mean that everything is perfect happening, what I want. Things getting wrong as well. But I'm changed now. Mm. I treat them differently. I see them differently. Everything is green for me now.
Mm. Your eyes feel good.
Yeah.
Like I can see that you're grateful.
Yeah.
And who are you when no one's around? Who are you when nobody's around?
Hirdesh.
Okay. Wow. Who's that?
He's a guy who has bigger dreams. Because when everybody is around, I'm a very loud person. If you ask my team, I'm a very ambitious person.
Mm.
If somebody is around, I always talk about big things, big projects, big success, big money and everything. But Hirdesh is much more bigger than that. And when nobody around, I talk to myself and I talk to God. God, I want this. I want that. And things are not happening. The things are happening great, but not that great. I'm more loud when I'm alone with myself. I'm more ambitious. Sometimes when people are around, you have to be practical. Else they will think that you are a stupid guy. But my manager, Prasant, I talk to her everything, what I feel.
Mm.
And I talk to her about my dreams. I have lots of dreams. I want to make it something. I want to make my people proud. I want to make all the brown people proud. I want to unite the brown collectivity of ethnicities. Especially brown.
Hmm.
Especially brown. Because we are different people. This world has been ruled and dominated by whites. And being suppressed. And the blacks have seen lots of domination and lots of cruelty and lots of worst of this world. But, you know, if I give you an example, somebody has a stick and somebody is getting beaten.
Yeah.
The one who's getting beaten is get the wounds. But somebody who's witnessing it, browns, imagine the subconscious of fear. Imagine the subconscious of fear. Yeah. The subconscious of domination. So I want to collect, I want to bring all the browns with music together and represent. Because I'm like this as a human. Wherever I go, I blend with people.
Mm.
Because that's what I feel, how you connect. You don't have to make them be like you. You have to be like them to give your message of peace and harmony. And I want to make, that's why I'm working on an album. It's called Mena Project.
Hmm.
So that's my first step. Okay. Because I've been coming to this country since 2010.
Hmm.
And I've been coming to Bahrain and all this area of Arab region since 2010. And I see these people are like us, very much like us. So that's why I moved here. I never thought in my life ever I'm going to move out of India. I'm never going to stay out of Delhi. I never lived in Mumbai. When I was big, I still lived in Delhi. Mm. But I've been moving to this country because I feel the people are like me, are like us. So when I started researching about the whole area, region of Arab world, it's MENA world, Middle East, North Africa, say I have to bring the music, and the music is so diverse. The dialect is so diverse. The Maghribi dialect is different. Khaliji is different. Egyptian is different. Egyptian is ruling. Because if something comes out in Egyptian, everybody gonna listen.
Mm.
So I want to bring, I give this idea to my manager person. I say, make this thing happen. And we recorded the first song with Sheb Mami.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I want to bring Maghribi, Khaliji, Saudi, Yemenis,
Egyptian for sure.
Egyptians with a blend of Indian music.
To be so
and
good.
Indian verses.
And you know how much Arabs are into Indian culture?
Yes, yes.
And how influenced we are.
Yes.
Whether it's our food.
Yes, yes.
From rice.
Yes.
To our bread, to our curry.
Yes.
To dressing, to like, there is so much yes. history.
Yes.
You know, even my grandfather used to be a trader before the oil.
Yes.
And the main trade was where? You go to India. Or you go get the pearls. On.
Yeah.
So there's so much history, so much influence. Yes.
Even the language, Urdu,
yeah,
is an influence of Arab words and Persian words.
So.
What all we speak, like, the best word I like is Ishq.
Ishq,
is an Arabic word. Yeah. Ruh is Arabic word.
Yes.
So it's same. Food, culture, as psychology is same.
Values like
values, family values, 100%. Yes. Traditional values, same. So that's why I don't miss India much when since 3 years I'm living in Dubai.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing. Dubai I love. It's my favorite place in the world.
Yeah, I'm biased, so I can say me too. Yeah, but if I go back and I asked you to summarize Herdish's childhood in 3 words. So you click pause. Why do you click pause? I hear this often that people that watch the show, they click pause when I ask a question because they ask it of themselves or their friends or their family, and then they have a conversation. So me and the team, we worked for over 2 years to do over 70 questions here with a die and some QR codes where I pop up. But the point was to take the conversation outside the White Studio. You know, we're blessed to have these conversations, but what if we want these conversations to go to different homes and different friend groups and colleague groups and really have intimate, deep, strong conversations that maybe you've never had before? So that's why we created this game, and it's had very good feedback. People love it, and I hope you love it too. Try it out and let us know. The website is there. The link is in the caption. Enjoy it and let us know.
3 words.
Yeah. What 3 words pop?
Joy, happiness, and pain.
What's the difference between joy and happiness for you?
Joy, you know, joy and happiness is two different things. Joy means glorifying the happiness. And happiness is just an expression and just an emotion. You had it, you became happy. And then after a few moments, you are in some other mood. But being joy is mean acknowledging happiness throughout. That's
nice.
What I feel. So if I see back my journey, it was full of joy. My father sacrificed his whole life. He's been working, traveling for food and money for us. But still we were in joy. We were in happiness. And these 3 words come to my mind. Joy, happiness and pain.
And what do you mean pain?
Pain of, you know, the lack of resources and because I'll tell you my childhood. So I grew up in this area called Karampura, which is full of refugees came from Pakistan. My grandfather was from Pakistan. Even my father was born there. And I was born there. So it was it's a very ghetto area. Small houses, just one room house and the whole families are living there. And across the bridge, there is a big area with big mansions, people having air conditioning in the house, people having cars, children having everything. So if you don't have any access, at that time there was no internet. So if you don't have any access to that much exposure of good life, if I would be not staying next to that, I would be happy. Okay, we have this much resources, we are happy. But my father put me in the school in that area, which is full of what you call inferiority for me. That nobody should see me walking from Karampura and going to that area. So my school used to start at 8 a.m. I used to walk at 5 a.m. and go to my school and wait for everybody to come because all the buses were coming outside, going from outside my area. So I don't want them to see that I'm coming from this lower area. And my school used to get closed at 1 p.m., but I used to let everybody go. Then I used to leave by foot at 3 p.m. So that was the inferiority of complex was built inside me. People, boys who used to study with me, they used to have everything. They used to have pocket monies. They used to have 7 uniforms for 7 days, 5 days. But I was having just one uniform, which I used to wash, hide myself. And wear it. And it's a white uniform. So that was a pain for me, and I see my father is away from us just because of money. So, but even though God has been kind, we were in the best education, and nothing I should say is we were poor or we were under poverty line. My father gave us the best life. But again, that complex, if you're watching something which you can't have it right now, which you can't afford, that complex is only what I'm saying to this audience, only those people who've seen this, they're going to realize. Like if 100 people are living in an area where rest of the areas are also like that, they will not feel inferior. Poverty is not a shame, but the inferiority complexes, that kills you. That kills you, or how people see you, how people judge you.
Why did your father, you think, put you in that school? He wanted you to see a better education,
for
a better,
better
life.
Future, for a better future, for a better life. But that was a curse for me.
This is where I want to play on. Is it a curse? Because I think one side of it 100% is a curse.
Yeah.
It's pain because a child cannot comprehend.
Yeah.
Another side is like it drives you. Like what if I can, if I maybe, if I
yeah,
work
but,
hard, maybe.
But yeah.
Some
it,
anger.
It is an inspiration, but that builds an anger emotion.
That's why
in
anger.
A child heart.
Yeah, not like you're yeah.
Not
inspired.
Not
you're
as
like
a motivation.
You're pissed off.
Yeah, just in that I wanna be rich. I wanna have money. I wanna give my mother, my father everything. So that's our life, like kids and boys from that area in that circumstances in India. They all feel the same. That's why I get connected. Still, I have friends from that area. I go to that area every time I go to India.
Nice.
To make myself realize that I came from these streets. I'm never going to forget these streets. No matter how big I go. I will do Hollywood. I'll show you in 3 years. All the big pop stars going to be singing in my music. And I'm going to be singing with them, not in English. In any language, regional or the main language from India. That's what I'm planning for. But I always
I believe
go back.
You.
Yeah. But I always go back because if you remember from where you're coming, you can achieve anything. My manager who manages my India business is my 27-year-old friend. He's from that street. He can't even speak English. But I say, bro, it's okay. Doesn't matter. Connect with them to Pasant. She will talk in English for you.
It's a big thing for you to stay authentic and stay true to your people. It seems a very big driver for you.
Yeah.
Why? You feel nobody represented them or they're not getting a fair chance in this life?
No, you know what? This is an emotion if you can only realize when you look into their eyes when you go back to those streets. Those eyes look at you as in your brother, as in that he's ours and look where he's. He's been gone and still he's coming back to us and meeting us and having kebabs with us. I still go and eat street food kebabs all the time. That brings them proud. Oh, look, they call their office colleagues and look, I'm sitting with him. They do the video call. See, you were making fun of me, huh? That I know Honey Singh, huh? Look, he's my brother. So those eyes, when they look at you, it gives you, and that changed the whole perspective. When I was a child, I was looking to other successful boys as in with an anger of motivation. But now these kids are looking at to me with true motivation. Like if he did it, we can also do it because he's one of us.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah. How did you reach music?
Music production?
How did you even like...
Since childhood, I was playing tabla in my school assemblies. I was a proper Sikh guy with long hair. So that was a incident happened. So Since childhood, I've been getting dreadlocks because I've been having long hair. And I used to have this bun. My mother used to cut a little of dreadlocks. So then my bun became small. Then my school guys used to make fun of small bun. So next day I went into the assembly. I put the scarf and I started ready on the assembly. The principal came. He looked at me. He replaced me. Since then, I left tabla. I left spirituality. I left everything. Is that okay? But music, learning music, singing music, listening to music was there in the family. My mother sings very good. My father is a music lover.
Nice.
He's one of the best music journalists and critic I ever met in my life. He don't know how to make music. He don't know how to sing, but he can tell you. He made me listen to Muhammad Rafi since childhood. He said, nobody can beat Muhammad Rafi. And my mother is an artist. She's a beautiful singer and music lover. So music was there in family. Music was the only source of happiness. We've been listening. And when A.R. Rahman got introduced to me, I wanted to make music. And I didn't know how to make music. In 1998, I was just started meeting the DJs of New Delhi so that I can have CDs from them and I can listen to international music. In 2001, my father wanted me to do engineering. But I refused. I said, no, I don't want to do engineering. I want to make music. He said, no, you have to be an engineer. I said, okay. Then computer science was new in India at that time. So I said, if I'll do computer engineering, my father going to get me a computer system and then I'm going to start making beats. That's why I'm BSc in IT, information technology.
Okay.
But I was all making, for 3 years, I was just making beats.
Is it true that you still have the computer that has your first tracks?
Yes.
Ah, nice.
I still have that CPU.
That's crazy.
Yes. There was a handle on the top of it. I used to take it and travel everywhere for all the studios, to all the studios and make music. That's a souvenir. I'm never going to auction that.
You shouldn't. You give it to your son. At your peak, were you happy?
No. No.
Because people, you know, people can have this illusion of like, he has money, he has girls, he has fame, he has followers, he has. People automatically, by default, assume you're happy. And there is a nice quote by Mike Tyson.
Okay.
He said, if someone thinks a lot of money makes you happy, they've never had a lot of money.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool when I read it. So, okay, why? Why do you think you were not happy?
I was not in my senses when I was at the peak in 2012, 11 and 14. Because my ideology was very different from now. Since the childhood, that anger got built it up. And when I made it, I thought that, I used to walk very different. I used to talk very different. I used to disrespect everyone. I used to think that I did it. I was the one who did it. I used to call myself God. Because I was everywhere. Everybody wants me. At that time, I was making money. I was getting successful at a very young age. And even while doing that, I was doing drugs. I was in a very demonic state of mind. I didn't like that version of mine. Never. That's why my dream project, if you ask me, is to build mental health hospital in India, in New Delhi especially, and to make an awareness about anti-drugs, which I just performed 2 years back as well with Narcotics Department of India. I performed at India Gate because drugs are taking over in India a lot. especially in Punjab.
Mm.
It's too much. So I wanna be an example for them that I did it, but I got a second chance. You may not gonna get the second chance, so don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
So that for sure, I wanna do something for my people. That's in fight, especially for mental health, because that affects mental health a lot. Addiction affects mental health a lot.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
And we don't have much good doctors in India of mm-hmm. mental health.
You can start even small, a small clinic.
Not a small clinic, because there are a very large number of people who are affected by this. So I want to request the government of India to help me with this. So it should be, and I had a word with my sister as well. She's living in Australia. I said, because one of my aunties, she devoted her whole life in social work.
Mm.
She didn't got married. She was just doing social work. So my sister lived with my auntie a lot.
Mm.
So she has that ideology of serving the people and serving the humanity.
Mm.
So I had a word with her 6 months back. I said, let's do something for our people. And what if I make this project, would you be able to run it? She said, I will leave everything for it.
Nice.
She said, I'll move to India and I will run it. So let's see, by next year or something, we'll make it to
I
the
think
next
level. For sure you can. And I think if you even, as simple as a GoFundMe, you know, like one of these websites where you say, listen, guys, who's with me?
Yeah.
I'm sure your network is going to fly and support you. You're going to raise a lot of money to do
it. Yeah, not just the money, you know. Money is not that important.
Mm.
I think the government involvement will be more...
Mm.
Better, because once I'm going to start this movement, all the drug suppliers are going to be my enemies. All the big hospitals are going to be my enemies.
Mm-hmm.
Because they've been selling sessions of therapies in hundreds of dollars. But I'm going to provide the real cure, the exact cure which I got with the help of my doctor. He's going to build up the whole team. I think government has to help me. Then only we can make it happen. Because
very
India, the problem is population is too big. A small clinic can't feed it.
Mm.
But I already started this campaign on my shows. From 2 years, I've been doing India tour.
Mm.
And on every stage, I'm saying this message that, guys, you know my story, right? You know I was disappeared, right? What was the reason? It was drugs. Don't do it. Don't do it. I've been saying since 2 years, 3 years now.
What's the dark side of music and fame?
I don't know. I've seen the darkest, but I don't blame music and fame for it. I blame myself.
Hmm.
I think there's no dark side of music and fame. If you're dark inside, you're going to make spoil your life, no matter how. Not in just music and fame, in anything.
Mm.
If you are wounded inside, if you are dark inside, you will spoil it. So I don't want to blame the music industry for anything or entertainment industry for anything. I don't see it. Because I've been hanging out with... I got an opportunity to share screen with such a big legends, to sit with them for hours and hours, to have the personal access of their life, the very young age. People like Shah Rukh Khan, people like Amitabh Bachchan, Salman Khan. I shared screen with Akshay Kumar. I wasn't just an independent artist. I was not a Bollywood singer. But they picked me and they said, come, stand with us, sing a song.
Yeah.
So that made me introduce with the pillars of Bollywood. And they're such a simple people. There's no darkness in them.
Mm-hmm.
All of them used to observe me and used to tell me that, stay away, what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
This is wrong. Especially Akshay Kumar and Shah Rukh Khan. Shah Rukh Bhai said it to me so many times. This is gonna spoil you. This is gonna finish you. Only this thing gonna finish you. And I destroyed.
Mm-hmm. I read that when you were in the US at some point, you texted your sister and you said, I don't know what's wrong with me.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
Yeah, I remember everything, the whole episode. So I was doing that music reality show in India, in Mumbai. They were filming and I was doing the America tour with Shah Rukh Khan. So I was getting this suspicious thought that I'm going to die on stage. So I still remember that was Chicago. So somebody was with me and she said, the time is running and you have to go for rehearsals. I can't go to rehearsals. Then Shah Rukh bhai called me. He said, what happened? I said, no, I'll be fine. I'll see you on stage. I'm not going to come on rehearsal. He said, okay. And I was feeling that I'm going to die on this show, on stage. I was having those suspicious thoughts. Then I said, how am I going to skip this? What about if I shave my head? So I pick up the trimmer and I shave half of my head. And then they said, make you wear the cap, no problem. I said, shit, man, these people are not understanding me. And then I called my sister and said, something is happening. She said, okay, but you have to do the show. So I cannot. And then I left the show. I was on stage. I did two songs. Then I left. Since then, I was in my house for 7 years.
Crazy.
I never wanted to be seen in this condition to my fans. I locked up myself. I was not meeting anyone, not even my childhood friends. Nobody. And no running information. No running information. They used to tell me that devil is talking to me. No telephone calls, no television, no internet, nothing. But I enjoy that now.
But how would your days pass? That's 7 years, not 1 year. We're talking seven.
7 years. For 3 years, I didn't move out from my bedroom. When I used to take shower, I used to let the bathroom door open.
Why?
I was having this fear that I'm going to die. There are lots of things, not just fear of death. Bipolar disorder takes you to an extinct of multiple destructive thoughts, which is not happening. This is not for real, but you're thinking and you're feeling it that this is happening. Some of the episodes, I think 2018 or 2019, I was believing that I'm dead already. So we were living in two apartments. One side was my mother, father and sister side. One is my ex-wife and my side. And I was just sitting in a living area. I said, okay, I'm dead already. I was having a fear 3 years back that I'm going to die on the set, on the show. But I think I'm already dead. I have to go somewhere. Where? I have to complete something. What? I'm stuck in here. Am I going to go to hell or heaven? Then the food used to come. My mother used to say, eat. I say, okay, I think that's my last meal. But where I will go after this? It's all thoughts. I've seen people who are dealing with this problem, they know what I'm saying. But most of the people are going to laugh from this conversation.
I don't find it funny at all. And I have, relatives have that have the syndrome.
Yeah.
The disorder, sorry, not the syndrome. So, and I know how medicine, some of them really helped.
Yeah.
You know, some of them complained about the medicine.
Yeah.
That they had to stop it, that it was worse for them or very depressing?
No, it's all about the combination of medication.
Mm.
If you're in the wrong combination, I was on the same medication but was on a wrong combination. I didn't get cured in 7 years. But when I stepped out from my house, I decided now I have to step out. I changed my doctor. He changed the medication. He introduced some new medication. And he kept the main salt, which is sizopin, I should talk about. I'm still on sizopin, but on a very maintenance dose. So he kept sizopin, but in a very different dosage. And I got cured in 4 weeks. 4 weeks. I started talking to people, meeting people. I started facing my life.
Well, after 7 years.
After 7 years.
So you tried to take certain medications in the 70s, but they
weren't. Yeah, I was on full medication. I became 105 kgs due to medication. I became fat. I got bald.
Wow.
This is fake hair right now. I'm totally bald.
Hmm.
This is fake hair.
What do you mean fake? Like hair transplant?
Not hair transplant. It's a hair system. Yeah.
Good job. It actually looks good.
Yeah.
Okay. So that medication made you go bald?
Bald.
Wow.
I'm totally bald.
Okay. How many people know that?
I think everybody.
You openly speak about these
things. I openly speak of everything.
I love that, by the way. Even I was going to tell you 10 minutes earlier. Say it without reluctance. No. You're like at peace.
Yeah, I'm like this. Because I don't belong to myself. I don't belong to myself. I'm not my property. I'm people's property.
Mm-hmm.
They made me who I am. And he is my owner. So he allows me. He gave me this permission to talk your heart out.
Mm-hmm.
Don't hide anything from anyone. Because you don't have to hide anything from anyone. You did mistakes, talk about it. You will do more mistakes, but not the old one. Again.
Mm-hmm.
We are humans. We're going to keep doing mistakes. But I know that I'm going to not going to repeat those mistakes. I'm going to do new mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
Then I'm going to have consequences of that. Then I'm going to learn again. That's the graph.
Mm-hmm.
If you see a patient on a bed in the hospital, waves are like this. It means everything is fine. Up and down, it means everything is fine. If it's static, you're dead.
That's not true.
So I don't want that everything best or the greatest should happen with me.
Mm.
It's all karma. Whatever tree you water, you're going to get those fruits.
Mm.
So now my tree is full of leaves.
The one you're drawing now.
Yeah.
Was it hard to reach peace within yourself, to be open about addiction, to be open about alcoholism or depression or bipolar or your hair? Like, was it a hard process to say, I want to be one, I want to be aligned?
No, it was not hard. It's just a process. And you know what? It's seamless. You cannot decide. The one cannot decide this.
Hmm.
It comes from a supernatural power. It's not you. If you try your best to do something, to align yourself, you will not be able to do it. If it's not coming from the supernatural power, which is God, He aligns you.
Mm.
Then the thing moves.
So why would God align you but not align someone else?
No, He's aligning everybody. Just how you acknowledge. You're not acknowledging His message. You're not acknowledging Him. You're not talking to Him.
Mm.
You're not. Even if you're talking, you're praying, but you're giving your list. You're not listening to Him. You have to listen to Him. Then you don't have to even pray. You will just do this and He start talking to you. And things are happening.
Mm-hmm.
You will align.
There is a saying that I love and I repeat often. When the student is ready, the teacher will appear.
Yes.
So I think you had to be ready
to
receive.
Yes.
And then things work.
Yes. And He chooses you. You cannot choose Him. He will choose you at the right moment. You want, if something bad is happening in your life, He wants you to experience that.
Mm.
Because He wants you to understand what's the real joy. It doesn't come without feeling pain.
Mm.
You have to go through pain.
You need the contrast.
Yeah.
Of course, otherwise you wouldn't know.
Yeah.
Mm. So how did you, if I simplify it, how did you turn your life around? Now we reach at 7 years, you find a good doctor.
Yeah.
And that's the start of
turning
things around?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's the start. And you won't believe I stopped doing drugs in 2014.
Mm.
I didn't touch anything after that. Still, it took me 7 to 8 years. That's what I'm saying to my people out there in India, the youth. You know, I I say, okay, if you want to get high, try alcohol. Because it's available on the stores.
Mm.
It's written. It's not good for health, but it's chemically proven that it got this much percentage of alcohol. You're going to kill your liver or something like that.
Mm.
But those dry stuff is going to kill your brain. If alcohol going to destroy your liver, you're going to transplant. But this you cannot transplant.
Mm.
So I'm saying to the kids in India, okay, if you want to go party, it's okay with controlled alcohol, but not drugs.
Mm.
Not drugs.
So I was watching a podcast with a brain doctor in America. And he explained how even alcohol reduces the size of your brain if you consume it once a week.
Oh my God.
And he's a brain doctor, so he's done over 10,000 brain scans. His name is Dr. Aman, so you can search him. And he has done so many brain scans. Of course, he talks about marijuana or weed, and he talks about obesity, how it affects you, and alcohol. It actually makes your brain smaller. And when you really think about it, alcohol makes you drunk, or they call it intoxicated, because it's toxic. It's not supposed to be in your blood, so... Even besides religion, it's just very unhealthy, whether it's calories, whether... But I understand your point is like you can safely try certain things, but you need to be careful.
Careful.
Sometimes there's no way back, you know? And nowadays we have this big issue, the pandemic of pills in schools, illegal drinking. There's so many things now.
In India also, it's too much.
The pills is huge, a huge issue.
Yeah.
You know? They take it, I think, the prescription drugs.
Yeah.
But they take it from God knows who.
Yeah.
It's difficult to catch these things.
Yeah.
You know? And I feel bad when I see kids that are
true
wasting so much of their childhood.
Yeah.
Whether it's on addiction to pornography or video games or marijuana or pills.
Yeah.
Like so much of your life is gone.
Yeah.
How about yours? Do you look back at your 7 years like you feel like I lost so much time?
No.
No.
I feel like I just came out from sauna.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay.
If somebody made me stay there for a long time.
Yeah.
I feel skin burn and drained with sweat. So I feel okay. That has to happen.
Mm.
I thank to God that happened me. That happened to me. When I'm in my early 30s, not in my 50s.
Mm.
I couldn't able to do a comeback. Couldn't able to do everything what I'm doing right now.
True.
So he decided to give me that lesson at that age of my life so that rest of my life is going to be amazing. Everything happens for a reason.
Do you give yourself any credit?
For what?
For the coming back?
No, it's him. Only just him. It's a miracle. It's just a miracle. I did nothing.
What about effort? What about discipline? What about...
You are just the mechanism. He's the mechanic. You're just the mechanism. You are nothing. He drives you. He controls you. He gives you the thoughts. He gives you the strength to believe in your thoughts. He gives you a sense to be in discipline if you connect. If you're really in sync with him.
Mm. So that's where the credit only goes.
Only him. If you are in sync, leave it to him.
And what does love mean to you today?
Love is the most beautiful thing.
Mm.
The most amazing thing. And it's the very important thing. In life.
And when you say love, do you think of all definitions of love? Whether it's romantic or family or...
Yeah. All kind of love. But... Ishq happens once in life.
Mm. Why once?
Ishq happens once in life. With the mehboob.
Like the first love?
Not the first love. It can be your last love.
Okay.
Can be your last love.
Yeah.
The intensity has to be strong.
Did you experience Ashq
yet? Yeah.
Okay. So Halas is gone for you. You finished your one? Okay.
Yeah. And it's good. Love is everything. Love with your mother, with your father, with your siblings, with the people you don't even know. Like when I do concerts, I see a different love. I receive different love and energy and the blessings from my fans. Mm. And I think this is the reason I came back, because I actually saw, and we saw the stats of the royalties we've been receiving when I was not doing work.
Mm.
We got lots of money from the royalties because they were playing my songs everywhere. They were missing me. And I'm back because of God and because of my fans.
Mm.
I'm doing this and they're loving it now. They're flexing it. Look, we gambled on the right horse.
Nice. And I know you're also divorced. I'm divorced.
Yeah.
What did you learn about yourself after divorce?
That you are alone and you have to be alone.
Explain.
That you have to love yourself now.
Mm.
And my personal life, my first marriage was a very different case, and my divorce was a very different case.
Mm.
When I got sick, she was with me.
Mm.
She was in the same house. But when I started deciding to move out, then we have this conflict that we want to get separate. We got separate. Since then, I felt that I have to be alone.
Mm.
And now I love to be alone. Because you came alone and you will go alone. No matter how much you love somebody, he will not come with you. At the final chapter, you have to go alone. So now I learned, and I got introduced with the real beloved, which is him. I'm in a state right now, brother. If everybody gonna leave me now, with whom I cannot live without, I'll be okay.
Mm.
I'll be okay. I'm prepared for it. I'm prepared for it. Because I've seen the trailer for 7 years. When I used to walk, when I was Yo-Yo Honey Singh, 40 boys and friends used to walk with me. It was a big entourage. But when I got sick, everybody left. Just one guy was there, Rohit. He was my childhood friend. Rest everybody left.
Mm.
Now when I did the comeback, everybody is coming back. But now I realized that I have to be alone. This is just an audience, just an entourage. So it's I don't care now.
Mm.
The biggest harsh reality, who gave me birth, we're not going to be with me in a few years. And I cannot think of any day living without them. But I still have to live without them. So just prepare yourself.
Mm.
It's the process of life.
You
came alone, you'll go alone. But the problem is with the human nature, I'll give you one example.
Mm.
It's a very funny example.
Mm.
Out of all the mammals you have in the world, any child comes to this life, it never cries. A horse, a donkey, a cow gives a birth to a child, he came out quietly.
Mm.
But a human come out crying. And whole his life he's crying. And he dies crying. So, just live your life. Don't be human.
Mm.
Don't be human. Don't be just another man. Don't be. Start thinking beyond it. What I'm thinking.
What do you mean, don't be human, when somebody's hearing that? You mean the human is weak?
Not weak. Stereotyped.
Mm.
I'm saying stereotype human.
Mm. Don't be a stereotype.
Don't be a stereotype human. Don't always look in a love life that marriage is the only destination.
Mm.
Don't think in business that, okay, 200 million is the biggest money you can achieve in sports, in everything. Don't be stereotyped. I don't believe in 9 to 5, that module, when humans I get stuck. And I know lots of people from lots of big families, but their kids wants to just have a secure job because they don't want to do hard work. They don't want to do empire. They don't want to build empires. So stereotyping of anything, what I call is don't be like humans.
Yeah.
Because people who've been to Mars and Moon, the people like us, they were not humans. They were special humans. So just find special in you and be special. It doesn't mean you have to do something big in life. It doesn't mean. Living a simple life in a special way makes you a special human. You don't have to be rich and successful. If you are a failure, if you are a failed man, but you are happy in peace and joy, you're a special human. If pain doesn't bother you, living alone doesn't bother you, makes you scared, you're a special human.
عندك الوايت كارد عندك الكارد جيم بعد اعطني. I have more questions here, but these are more like hypothetical and some cool ones. Okay. This subhanallah. Look. Subhanallah means like all praise to God, you know? The first one, huh? We come alone to this life and we leave alone and we covered it. Khalas. Next. What is the best advice someone has given you that has stuck with you?
The best part, he never gave me this advice, but I took from him just by observing him. He's my father. He's the most hardworking man I've ever seen in my life.
Truly?
Yes. He's the most hardworking man ever. But he never gave me this advice to hard work. Because I was having a very, you know, very distant relationship with him in my childhood. So he never made me sit and taught me that, son, you have to be hardworking. But all I learned, hardworking, is from him. So I got the best advice from the man who never gave me that advice.
He gave it to you by showing you.
Showing it, yes.
What is the craziest thing you've ever done for another person?
I don't think I've done anything crazy for someone special.
No extravagant gesture or gift or
adventure. I just did tattoo of my mother, which is very special, and she loved it. My sister tattoo, she loved
it. Since we're talking about tattoos, you told me this one is inshallah for your future son.
Son, yeah. It's Buzz.
Buzz, which means eagle, right?
Yes.
And for your daughter?
It's Ruh.
Ruh.
It's in Punjabi. It's nice. Here.
Which is also Arabic, huh, Ruh?
Yeah.
Okay. This I think you will enjoy because I feel you're this kind of person. If you could teach every child in the world one lesson only, what would you teach every child?
Never give up. No matter what. Keep fighting. If you want to achieve anything, if you want to achieve success, if you want to achieve love, if you want to achieve anything in life, never give up. And never let people decide your fate. You decide your own fate. You believe in yourself. Just keep believing in yourself.
Do you believe sometimes it's smart to give up on certain things? For example, a lost cause job or a lost cause relationship or a corporate job. But people are like, no, you should keep going.
Yeah.
But you feel like maybe the grass is greener if I actually leave. So do you believe there's also on
the part, giving up on that example is correct. If somebody lost his job, but he has to believe in himself that if not another job, then might be in another business if he's starting a startup. But again, the instinct of not giving up should be there.
Yeah.
If he'll give up, okay, I'll go to mountains and do yoga. Then, I don't know, but keep fighting for anything.
There's a book you will like. It's called Grit. G-R-I-T.
I never read any book in my life.
Really?
Yes.
Do you like to or you don't like?
No, I don't like. I don't believe in reading somebody's mind,
okay,
somebody's ideology, which has been edited so many times.
Mm.
I want to meet with people. I want to know them while talking. I want to know their ideology, their philosophy while talking, not by a book.
Mm.
So I know I've met lots of scholars in my life, lots of Islamic scholars, lots of Hindu scholars, lots of Sikh scholars, and I became friends with them. And I had lots of questions, and they answered my questions. They answered my philosophy. They corrected me in lots of things which was there in books and on internet. But when you meet these people, that's a different experience.
100%.
So right now, the greatest philosopher I know is Mr. Mahesh Bhatt, who's the greatest filmmaker in India, and he's my best friend. And I talked to him, and he read lots of books.
Mm.
He read lots of books.
Yeah.
So it's always to listen and to converse with a man alive is so better experience.
Technically, you have live audiobooks.
Yes.
You're fortunate enough. Yeah. So I'll just summarize it. The book is about a lady who's trying to know. I'll summarize it. There's this very, very high end, difficult to get into military school.
Okay.
Army school in America, I think. And let's say they choose 2,000 people per year only. And they cap it. And out of these 2,000 people, I think only 200 pass.
Okay.
And she went and she's looking at the candidates and why 2,000, only 200 stay.
Okay.
Because the other ones that are out, if you looked at their CV, you're like, no, like this one is the best captain of I don't know what. This one has this. He should stay.
Yeah.
So she's looking at all the characteristics of these individuals and she couldn't understand why some stay. And the ones that you don't expect sometimes stay and versus the guy who was the elite athlete and blah, blah, blah.
Okay.
And she found this most important thing is kind of what you're saying.
What?
Is grit.
Grit.
Grit is to keep fighting.
Yes.
And this you cannot teach.
Yeah. It's in your instinct.
Yeah.
It's in your instinct.
So the ones who made it
are
the ones who didn't give up here.
Never give up.
You know?
Never give up.
So you reminded me of that. If hypothetically I give you an envelope that has the date of your death, you'll open it or not?
Definitely.
Oh, really?
Definitely.
Why?
If it's going to be correct,
yeah,
then I'm going to definitely enjoy that and open that. Then I'm going to finish everything. Because, you know, bro, I'm in the state. I was a river throughout my life.
Mm.
Started from mountains, been through all the cities. Some people put dam on me, stopped my water. Some people put garbage, industrial garbage on me. Right now, I'm an ocean. I'm an ocean.
Mm.
So if you will give me this date that this ocean will evaporate, I know, my God, it's going to be millions of years. So I'm going to enjoy those years.
Mm.
I'm going to enjoy every moment till I'm going to be dry. So I'll definitely open it.
Mm. If you could change one thing about yourself, what would you change?
Nothing. Well, I'm just correcting myself since so many years.
Mm.
I've been changing lots of things in me, but I don't know. I don't know.
You keep changing as you go.
I keep changing.
Is there any bad habit that you want to get rid of?
Right now?
Like fried chicken?
No.
No, okay. No. I love fried chicken, but I saw you eat it.
No. I don't judge myself. I don't judge myself. I don't think before speaking. I don't think before doing anything in life.
Mm.
I want to live seamless. I was in control of lots of people, lots of strategies, lots of conspiracies. I'm out of it now.
Mm.
So I'm enjoying the seamless mode. I don't want to change anything.
Mm.
I know the change is going to happen. The greatest Indian freedom fighter gave us one slogan called Inqilab Zindabad.
Mm.
Shahid Bhagat Singh. It means change is always for the betterment.
Mm.
We're going to keep changing, but I don't want to change anything right now in myself.
Mm. What's something you've been through that you wouldn't wish on anyone?
It's my 7 years of bipolar disorder. Not even on my enemies.
Really?
Though I don't have enemies.
Mm.
But even if I would be having some enemy, I don't even... That thing should happen to anyone, not to anyone in this world.
Do you remember it vividly or no?
I remember everything, every episode.
Really?
I was having a lost memory episodes while I was sick.
Mm.
So like when doctor used to come, he used to tell me, okay, 6 months back you were having this episode. I was like, I don't remember because I was so much high on medication.
Mm.
But now my everything, even I was programming music. We used to have hard drives in libraries. I used to forgot my libraries, where which sample I kept where. But now I remember everything, every episode, how I reacted with every doctor, how I faked in front of doctors, how whatever I did in those 7 years, I remember everything.
Mm.
I want to write about it.
You should.
Yeah.
Mm.
My sister is working on my biography.
And you said you wouldn't want it for anyone. So it was really bad.
Yeah, it was the worst. I don't want God.
How would you explain it to somebody as uneducated as me, as inexperienced as me? Is it like painful? Is it physically? Is it mental?
It's mental, and you'll feel inside, you know, in your heart, in your internal body, that whatever you're thinking is happening for real. It's just like those, what do you call those VR glasses? It's like that. When you wear those, you feel like this is happening for real. So that VRs are happening and you are in some another world, another thoughts, which is going bad, negative, deaths, everything. Paranormal activities are happening and you're believing it's happening for real, which is nothing happening like that.
Mm.
Nothing, you are just a human. Nothing is happening. It's just...
The brain, man.
Brain is...
What's the most painful thing someone has ever told you and you haven't forgotten?
I think nobody shared any pain with me.
No, somebody insulted you or said something to you that hurt you so much that it could be even in childhood. It just stuck with you, it hurt you, and it stayed with you.
That my principal of the school. That one.
The one he said.
Yeah, get out.
Yeah, that was like a turning point in your life, huh?
Yes, yes.
How old were you?
I was 12 or 13.
Mm. And you remember still?
I remember the whole episode. I remember the whole scene. It comes as a screenplay. I go there when I explain that.
And you can imagine the feelings of the 12-year-old.
Yeah.
Hmm. What were the feelings?
It was weird. Again, I was already feeling inferior because I'm studying in that school. But I built my name with arts and music. I became famous and then school people are loving me. Students are loving me.
Hmm.
My colleagues are loving me. But this man insulted me on stage.
Hmm.
I said, okay, no problem. You're the principal. You deserve to. You have all the authorities. But one day you will tell me. Tell to this world this. I insulted this boy. Look. I still remember his name.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you meet him after?
Yeah, I met him.
Oh, wow.
After, yeah.
Okay.
I met him near his house. I used to go for tuitions. And he appeared over there. And I touched his feet. His feet. Because he was our teacher. We have to respect him.
Mm.
No matter whatever he did. At what state of mind he did. Might be he didn't mean to hurt me. He was maintaining the discipline.
Hmm.
So.
Okay. You'd share his name or no?
Huh?
You would share his name?
No.
Okay. If you know you will die in 3 years, what changes would you make to your life now?
I will stop making money.
Hmm.
And I will make more music and spend more time with my family. And I will quickly make kids.
Mm. We need those tattoos to be real.
Yeah. I want to bring them. I want to give them my download. Guys, I'm going, kids. I'm going. I have to go. Anas gave me an envelope and I just opened it. I have to go.
Lad, inshallah, long.
No, it's okay. It's a truth of life.
We don't know.
It's a truth
Could
of life.
Could be in 5 minutes.
Yeah, it's a truth of life. You have to be ready for it.
And I think that's the beauty of life.
That's the most promised gift ever been given to an humankind.
Yeah.
Death is the biggest promise and is the reality. Life, what we're living, is a false.
Mm.
This is what I said in my documentary as well.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
I told you I want to watch it after this.
Yeah.
I'll do a random question. This is a card game I'm going to give you after the... You can play with your parents, with your friends. So we'll do only one. Okay, let's see. Okay, you mix and I'll choose one for you.
You mixed it already.
Okay. You choose which one I ask you.
Anything. You pick up.
Tell me where to stop.
This is falling.
Okay. I know this one. These are my questions. So I'll ask you. And this we don't need this one for. This is the way to answer.
Okay.
But I think this is a good question. So we don't need... Actually, you don't need this one. So what is your favorite animal?
Lion.
Lion.
Yeah.
Three reasons why.
Because he's lazy,
uh-huh.
And when he walks, everybody respects him.
Okay.
And third, he can teach his kids how to hunt.
Teacher. Okay. Yeah. So, your favorite animal represents your ideal partner.
Yeah.
So, your next partner.
Yeah.
These are the characteristics that are important. She demands respect. She's lazy. She's chill.
Yeah.
And she's a great teacher.
Yeah, she is that.
Ah. Are you already in a relationship?
Yeah.
Are you getting married or no?
Yeah, very soon.
Inshallah.
Very soon.
Oh, congrats. So we got to talk. That's pretty cool. You see, this card game works. Okay. A few more in my mind. What does success look to you today?
Success for me is a statement now. It's not about money. It's not about how many hits I'm providing. It's something symbolic I will do which is going to stay forever. Some moment, like the decision what me and my manager took a month back that we're not going to work with the labels now. We have to build India's first label, music label. Because right now the music labels are there in India are opened by some businessmen, not by an artist. So they don't understand artists. No matter how good A&Rs they have, they don't understand artists. So we want to make this label happen and want to launch lots of new talent on it.
I love that.
And that's going to be a moment. And I've been posting lots of material on Instagram and I was appealing all my fans and all the artists to support this moment.
Hmm.
Because in India, lots of labels are exploiting the artist.
Hmm.
So now is the time. It's going to be first time in India that an artist like in Hollywood, we have Jay-Z, we have other artists who built labels to make new superstars. So this is what we are working on.
Hmm.
And that's going to be successful. Again, I have more future plans, which is, I already told you, the Hollywood scene. I wanna conquer that.
Mm-hmm. And the clinic. The mental health clinic, right? Yeah. We have a few nice projects coming up. What are you still searching for?
Still searching for? I don't think I'm searching for anything now.
Anything you feel that's still missing in your life?
No, that's just the kids.
Hmm.
Just I want kids. Everything is complete. That's why I'm not scared to open that envelope.
Hmm. Do you think you'd be a good dad?
I don't know. That's my child's perspective, not my perspective.
Good answer. What are you afraid of?
Right now?
Nothing.
I'm not afraid of death, bro. I'm opening the envelope.
Are you afraid of the death of people you love?
No.
Hmm.
That has to happen.
Hmm.
and it will happen. But I want that. Now, I don't know how much more they're going to live. They should live happy and healthy.
So.
And they should see me happy. That's what keeping them alive.
Mm. You see them often, right?
Yeah.
Would you be afraid to ever fall back in the 7 years?
If I deserve, I will go.
You think you'll not go back?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
I don't think so.
I think, alhamdulillah, what I see is the alignment clicked.
Yeah.
If you never reach this alignment, I think you can relapse.
Yeah.
You know? Inshallah, no. What does your father mean to you?
Inspiration, the biggest inspiration of my life.
Mm.
Yeah. And he's a man of very less conversation and words.
Mm.
He's one of the most wise men. And right now, professionally, I don't take any decision without asking him.
Really?
Yes. He take care of all my accounts and my financial transactions and everything. He's the boss I work for. And everybody, the whole industry knows about it.
Mm.
That if I'm doing a business deal with you, no matter how the best offer you're going to give me, the final call I'm going to ask my father and then I'm going to decide.
Mm. Why?
Because he's seen life more than me. He's seen all the versions of mine.
Mm.
He's seen all the decisions of mine. And whenever I ask him something, that this proposal is coming to me, should I do it or not? I say, you know the best, kid. You know the best. I say, okay, just for an verdict. Give me a verdict. I don't think so. This should be it. Don't look for money. Just don't look for success. Just look what keeps you happy.
Mm.
I said, okay. I produced an album for free for the students who are, some of my students and some of the kids who are from the streets of Delhi. Mm. Just for free. And I told my father, I said, I'm going to do this album for free.
Mm.
I said, okay. So if it's making you happy, do it.
Yeah, good choice with your dad, because maybe a business manager will tell you no. He will not understand.
My business manager is more crazy than me.
And your mom, what does she mean to you?
She's an angel sent by God.
Mm.
And she's again my teacher, my best friend.
Mm.
My best friend. I don't hide anything from her. Tell her everything.
Mm.
And you know, the last few podcasts I did in India. So it's very cool. And my people love it when I swear words in podcast and all that stuff. Because Indians, they like it. My fans, because I came from the street. I represent the street.
Mm.
So she told me, listen, you're going for this international podcast. Don't swear. Because new people are watching you.
Mm.
Not your old people are watching you.
Mm.
So be balanced. I say, I cannot be prepared because I don't love to be prepared for podcast. Same. I hate that.
Mm.
He said, I know, but watch. Don't, no offensive language. Rest, talk about anything.
Mm.
I said, yeah.
So she's she knows about this interview.
Yeah. I was doing I was doing a video call on the way.
Yeah, parents, good parents are a blessing.
All the parents are good, bro.
I don't know. I've seen parents that are not good in my life to people that I were friends with. I don't want to say, it's also so lazy of me to say good or bad.
Yeah.
It's a spectrum. But I've seen harm from parents to kids, you know, abuse. And so I don't know if I want to say it as easy as, yeah, all parents are good for me.
Yeah.
I would think some are not. Maybe they're broken inside. Maybe there's darkness. Maybe their parents, you know, messed them up.
Yeah.
But, you know, some people take that and they do something with that poison and they achieve so much. And some people, it screws up their life.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm blessed, I think, you know, alhamdulillah. It seems you're blessed with yours.
Yeah, true.
You know, would you still think even the abusive ones are good?
I don't think so. They are good. But parents for a child has to be respectful no matter what they're doing to the child.
Mm.
Because again, it's a medium chosen by God to bring you to this earth. Even if they are abusive to you,
mm.
they are the medium. They are the reason you came to this earth.
Mm.
You should respect them. Okay, don't love them. Don't be with them if they are beating you or abusing you. You should respect them. They are the reason, bro. You are here. A cow or a horse not going to give you the birth. God chose these two humans to bring you to this world.
Mm.
So, that's my perspective.
It seems also you have the word respect is very important in your life. It's been coming, floating around in this conversation.
Yeah.
So much respect for the teacher, for your father, for...
Yeah, because what I've seen in life, you can buy anything in this world with money, even love, but not the respect.
Hmm.
Because suppose you have a pet and it's a dog. You can love him, but you can't respect him. Do you respect your pet?
Hmm.
Nobody respects their pet. If you respect your pet, you cannot put a leash. You make them sit on a dining table and make them sit and eat with you. So respect is a very, very important thing in life.
Hmm.
More than love. Because love you can buy.
When you say, I want people to understand this also more. When you say you can buy love, what do you mean? By gifts, by taking care of
someone? No. You adopt 5 orphan families.
Hmm.
Okay, you give them resources, they will love you. They will love you forever,
mm.
unconditionally, because you're going to be an angel in their life. So technically you bought love by supporting, by doing a good karma. Mm. But you can't buy respect. Okay, you go tomorrow to 5 orphan houses, and you give them resources, it's not sure that they're going to respect you. It's not sure.
I agree. I talk a lot about respect, and I say people misunderstand respect sometimes with fear.
Mm.
If somebody fears you, doesn't mean they respect you. They respect you. You only know someone respects you when you leave the room, how they speak about you.
Yeah.
Then you know.
Yeah.
You know, do I look up to you and I'm like, man, this guy is like class, etiquette, da-da-da-da-da. Not when you're in front of me.
Yeah, true.
And sometimes I tell employees, I'm like, always see how people leave.
Yeah.
Because then they don't need you. If they're still nice and I call you on your birthday next time, like, hey, I heard it's your birthday. That's respect and love. Yeah. I don't need you. You're not paying me a salary, but I still care.
Yeah.
Because I respect you. Okay. If this was your last day on earth and you had no way to communicate with anyone, what would you have wished to be able to tell someone?
I already did this podcast and the cameras are on.
Mm.
I already said, if somebody want to learn, even Baz and Roo, if you're watching this, if it's my last day, my kids, I love you. I've never saw you. But if your mother going to have you with any other man, even though you're going to be my child, so this is my last interview and enjoy.
Mm. That's the most unique answer I got.
Bro, I'm a crazy man.
I love that. That's the beauty of this show. Yeah. I get all kinds of people.
Yeah.
Okay. If I am able to take your heart and place it out of you, what would your heart tell you today? After everything you've told me, after the 7 years, after the rebirth, after divorce, after kids, mashallah, after your parents, after that school moment, this scan of your life.
Yeah.
What is your heart telling you?
You just live, MF. I'm not going to say the word.
For your mom.
Just live.
Mm.
Don't die. Don't let this podcast be your last podcast.
No, inshallah, no.
Yeah.
We hope no. I think you have so much to give, man. You have a big heart. And I think it was marinating for a long time. You know, 7 years is enough marination. Khalas. Yalla. So now it's a funny way how my brain is working, but I actually, that word just came naturally. I do feel your soul and your heart is marinated.
Yeah.
With flavor and spice.
Yes.
And it was enough marination.
Yeah.
And now it's time to khalas. It's the time it, for marination was done. You downloaded, you're aligned. Okay. Boss, please go open your clinic, go to Hollywood, go make your people proud. You have to be hungry for that, yeah, you know? Yeah. And I guess you have enough fuel for that.
Yeah, I'm ready.
Yeah. Okay, let's do this last question in two ways. Yo-Yo Honey Singh in one word.
Mystery.
Mystery. Okay, why did you say that?
Because I'm still acknowledging myself.
Okay.
I'm still discovering myself, who I am.
Mm. And Hardish in one word.
Is a mystery man. Who created that mystery?
So the mystery man that created that character.
Character, that mystery.
Do you see yourself as a mysterious?
I am. Still I'm so open, but still I'm a mystery because, you know, I don't know myself, who I am, what, and why I am. I'm discovering myself, what I am. Because what people know, Yo-Yo Honey Singh, it's not me, bro. That's not me. That's a character as a businessman I built and I made. That's not me. These things which we are talking, that I am.
Mm.
But if you see my music videos, my shows, my songs, that human is not me. So I'm discovering. I'm still occupied in rediscovering and discovering that character and making it more fruitful and more successful. So that mystery man Hirdesh made that Yo-Yo Honey Singh, the mystery, which he himself is studying and solving what the F I created.
It doesn't bother you that there's a huge separation?
No, because I live very differently. I live very differently. I give access to very limited energies to come around me. I'm very exclusive now. Because energies are everything.
Yeah, I'm starting to feel this more and more in my life.
Yes.
You know? I swear. Before I was probably dismissive or not attuned to it.
Yeah.
Now I sometimes want to see how I feel after I meet someone.
Yeah.
It's always my mother said it nicely. She said, you know, like with coffee, there's an aftertaste.
Aftertaste.
She's like, see what's the aftertaste after meeting someone.
Yeah.
Because it could be fun while you're chatting, but then when you go home, you're like, I don't feel good.
Yeah.
You know? Energy is so interesting to me.
Everything is energy. Everything, even God, is an energy. The name we know. Some of the religions, they have pictures, ideologies, idols. But he's just an energy with no name, no presence. It's just how you feel it. And he's not far away in the galaxy or somewhere. No, he's inside you. All you have to do is just connect to him, listen to him. He will answer.
You think all of this happened because of that day that you surrendered?
Yes.
Well, it's nice to meet you, Hardish. Hardish.
Same.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you so much.
I appreciate it. We'll be right back.
mi caffè anni dall'ombre ma chi è tu teriade wo dil ki baatein jhoothi raate na jaane kahan gum ho jaate sapne sare ab jaaun main kahan
Hey!